Okay, hello everyone, good evening. I am going to call to order the Berkeley City Council meeting. Today is Tuesday, April 21st, 2026, and it is 6:08 p.m. Thank you very much for your patience, everyone. Can we please start off with the roll?
Certainly, and Mayor, before we get started with the roll, Councilmember O'Keefe will be participating remotely under the Just Cause provision of the Brown Act, so we're going to run through that script real quick. Councilmember O'Keefe is intending to participate in the meeting remotely pursuant to the Brown Act under the Just Cause justification. A quorum of the council is participating in person at a single physical location that is identified on the agenda, open to the public, within the boundaries of the agency, and meets accessibility requirements. This satisfies the requirements of the Brown Act. Councilmember O'Keefe has notified us of her need to participate remotely. Councilmember O'Keefe, if you would please provide a general description of the circumstances relating to your need to appear remotely, and you're reminded that you need not disclose any medical diagnosis, disability, or other confidential medical information.
Yeah, thanks. I have a sick kid.
Thank you. Councilmember O'Keefe, please disclose whether any other individuals 18 years of age or older are present in the room at your remote location and the general nature of your relationship with such individuals.
Just a cat. He's under 18.
Thank you. And Councilmember O'Keefe, you're reminded that you must participate through both audio and visual technology.
Okay. I might turn off my camera briefly if I have to go check on my kid, but I'll be here.
Thank you. All right. And we can go ahead and proceed with the roll. Councilmember Keserwani?
Here.
Councilmember Taplin? Is absent. Councilmember Bartlett? Is absent. Councilmember Tragub?
Present.
Thank you. O'Keefe?
Here.
Blackaby?
Here.
Lunapara?
Here.
Humbert?
Present.
And Mayor Ishii?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rose. All right, so we have a quite lengthy report out from closed session, so please bear with me. It's a lot of letters and numbers. Item number one, the City Council met in closed session on August 20th, 2026, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, subsection D, and provided directions to outside counsel and approved a settlement by compromise and release as to a workers' compensation matter assigned claim number BER22-00002 and WCAB case number ADJ15513397. Item number two, the City Council met in closed session on April 20th, 2026, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, subsection D, and provided direction to outside counsel and approved a settlement by compromise and release for the release of future medical care, or in the alternative, by stipulations with request for award with open future medical care, as to a workers' compensation matter assigned claim number BER20000151 and WCAB case number ADJ17521808. Item number three, the City Council met in closed session on April 20th, 2026, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, subsection D, and provided directions to outside counsel and approved a settlement by stipulations and request for award with open future medical care as to a workers' compensation matter assigned claim number BER240015. Two more items left. Item number five, the Mayor and City Council met in closed session and voted to authorize the City Attorney's Office to file appeals in the matter of Berkeley Homeless Union et al. V. City of Berkeley et al. 4:25-CV-01414-EMC and Prado et al. V. City of Berkeley case number 3:23-CV-04537-EMC in the Northern District, California. Item number six, the Mayor and City Council met in closed session to discuss the matter of INRI DHCS audit of City of Berkeley RE GEMT cost reports. OAHA appeal numbers GE24-0621-963-TS, GE26-0622-731L-VT, DHCS matter numbers 24-026104 and 24-026106. The council voted to authorize the city attorney's office to engage in settlement negotiations with the agency and commence litigation if necessary. Thank you all for your patience. So we have no ceremonial items this evening, so we'll move straight on to the city manager comments.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I don't have any comments tonight.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on non-addenda matters? Oh, did you submit a... Okay, good. Great.
Thank you. All right, thank you, Mayor. We do have a couple of cards here for individuals in the room, so we'll take those first. Okay. And our in-room speakers, in no particular order, are Rachel Berry and Rolf Bell. So please go ahead and come on up to the podium. And each speaker will have 1 minute to speak.
Hi, good evening, council members. My name is Rachel Berry. I work with Root and Bloom Institute, a nonprofit renovating a vacant building on 6th and Bancroft Way in Berkeley. We're excited to open later this year for a holistic mental health therapy and vocational training. I'm here tonight because after we began renovating this building, a new traffic light was installed on our corner, and with it came red curbing 150 feet in all directions, taking away nearly 50 parking spaces, including ADA parking from our corner. When we spoke to our neighbors, no one seemed to know this traffic light would include the inclusion of four left turn lanes, which is significant because those are what eliminated most of our parking spaces. While many of us appreciate the traffic light, bike lanes, and crosswalk, most of the left turn lanes at this intersection are unnecessary at Bancroft Way, which to the east is a designated traffic suppression street, and to the west dead ends after four blocks. In January of last year, several of us in the neighborhood began reaching out to city officials and staff to share the impact and request some dialogue. After 16 months of emails with mayor's office, city council members, and city staff, we have gained no traction on this issue, and we ask for your support in finding a real solution.
Thank you.
Thank you.
2 minutes when there's only two people speaking.
We have online speakers as well. You are correct, yes, but okay. We do have more than
five
speakers.
So we have more than five?
We do.
Thank you very
yes.
much.
Mm-hmm.
Just checking. Do I need to press the button or you press the button?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I'm Rolf Bell, a 26-year resident of Berkeley and a business owner. In the last 2 months of 2024, at the corner of Bancroft Way and 6th Street, all four corners were torn up, and a total of 16 signal lights were installed, and the entire intersection reconfigured. There are 30 small businesses and 16 residences directly impacted. None received a notice. The traffic light makes pedestrian crossings safer, but three of the four left turn lanes make cycling more dangerous and rob 30 businesses and 16 residences of essential parking. We find it bizarre that our council member Taplin and our mayor can't seem to find the time to meet with us and find a resolution that is better for cyclists, better for residents, and better for business. Now we ask you to make time for us, along with the traffic engineer,
thank
and
you.
Correct this over-designed
your
and dangerous
is up.
Intersection.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now go to the online speakers. Catherine, you should be able to speak.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Yeah, my name is Lily Howell. I am the parent of three Berkeley community members, and I have a daughter who is 18 years old who had the blissful experience of going through the Parks and Recreation's therapeutic recreation program. She has autism and intellectual disability and was enabled to access community programs through the Parks and Recreation's department for enrichment and joy, just like any other kid and like her siblings, through therapeutic recreation. I saw on the mayor's budget not a reduction, but an elimination of this vital program for students with disabilities. And in the birthplace of the disability rights movement, I'm pretty appalled at the city of Berkeley to eliminate accessibility, inclusion, and recreation for our children with disabilities in our community. Frankly, shame on you. It's very upsetting. I cannot fathom that in a place that cares about disability inclusion and DEI.
Catherine, thank you for your public comment.
Our next speaker is the caller. Whoops, I'm sorry. Our next speaker is Della.
Yes. Della, you should be able to speak. Thank you. I'm calling or telling you all about some thoughts I had. I was reflecting on how many fires there were recently in Berkeley, and I'm noticing that maybe it's with the new non-reporting clauses with the emergency, but we're not, as constituents, getting a report back on like what the cause of the fires were. And it just makes me think that we all could be sitting on, you know, a hazard that we're not aware of. Maybe it was like an e-bike charging battery or a lithium battery or countless potentialities I could think of that it could possibly be. But it would be nice to hear about what is causing the fires in Berkeley so that other constituents can be careful and more mindful and make sure we don't have the exact same hazard in our units. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Della.
All right, thank you. The next speaker is the caller ending in 211. Caller, you should be able to speak.
Hi, good evening. So our manager, business manager, Roy, handed you some paper documents. Please read them and let's take some consideration. Our business did over $200 million of business since 1973. Help us. Everyone need help. I want you to walk down Telegraph from Bancroft down to Ashby. About half of the retail spaces are vacant. It is a shame, shame on the city. Why are these spaces vacant when they can be thriving businesses to help students, to help business, to help everybody? I need a call for Mayor Ishii as soon as possible. We need to get together and let's make Berkeley great again. Right now, Berkeley is bankrupt. Have a good night. I will call you again. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Our next speaker is Craig. Craig, you should be able to speak.
Yes, hi. My name's Craig Nagasawa. I own a building at 1201 6th Street, which is Harrison and 6th. And I'm sure you're all aware of what's going on down there. I've been there for 25 years. And the last 5 years have been completely living hell. I'm on the front lines of all of the unhoused stuff that is going on. Last week or 10 days ago, there was a fire, it was hot enough, it blistered the paint on the side of my building. The next day, the city came, made sure that the person who started the fire was okay, and cleaned up, and then allowed him to move back in. There's no parameters whatsoever for people coming or going. Anybody who wants to can set up another tent, another house, another whatever they want. There's trash and garbage, there's disease. I mean, you know all of the adjectives. There's all of this stuff going on, dangerous safety issues. I have been—
Thank you. Thank you, Craig. Your time is up, but thank you for your comment.
All right, thank you, Mayor. That was our last speaker for non-agenda public comment. And I'd just like to take a moment and acknowledge that Councilmember Bartlett has joined the meeting remotely. And Councilmember Bartlett, if you are available, we can go through the Just Cause script.
I'm here. I'm still working on getting set up. My computer is acting up, but I'm here.
Super. All right. Wonderful. We'll go through this script, which will allow you to participate in the remainder of the meeting. Councilmember Bartlett is intending to in the meeting remotely pursuant to the Brown Act under the Just Cause justification. A quorum of the council is participating in person at a single physical location that is identified on the agenda, open to the public within the boundaries of the agency, and meets accessibility requirements. This satisfies the requirements of the Brown Act. Councilmember Bartlett has notified us of his need to participate remotely. Councilmember Bartlett, at this time, would you please provide a general description of the circumstances relating to your need to appear remotely at this meeting? And you are reminded that you need not disclose any medical diagnosis, disability, or other confidential medical information.
I'm recovering from a medical condition.
Thank you, Councilmember. Please, at this time, disclose before we take any action, whether there are any other individuals 18 years of age or older present in the room with you at your location, and if so, the general nature of your relationship with them.
No, however, my spouse may come in and out at will.
All right, thank you. All right, Councilmember Bartlett, you are reminded to please participate through both audio and visual technology. Thank you.
Be there soon.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure there was a public comment that was made earlier, although I think that person has gotten off, but there was a program that they had mentioned in particular, and I just want to make sure that that person knows. I don't think they're listening anymore, but that we propose to keep it with the sales and use tax passing, so they should just know that. Okay. Oops. So many things. All right, here we go. I think that that was it then for our public comment on non-agenda matters. Thank you all very much. And we will now move on to the consent calendar. So I would like to see if my council member colleagues have any comments. Council member Traygub.
Thank you so much, Madam Mayor. I would like to thank my colleagues for supporting, or I would like to thank my colleagues on the Agenda and Rules Committee for moving items 14, 15, and 16 to the consent calendar. Item 14 is a support position on SB 1301 by Senator Allen, reforming the insurance non-renewal process, which is obviously something that is a situation that is increasing, not just among homeowners in and around Zone Zero, but also now in the Berkeley Flats, including my district. So we have heard from a number of constituents, and this bill is an effort to reform the insurance non-renewal process. I would like to thank council members Blackaby, Humbert, and O'Keefe for their co-sponsorship. Item 15 is a support position on SB 1257 by Senator Arreguin, which would be a report around federal immigration enforcement, another way to keep the federal government accountable. And I would like to thank the mayor, Councilmember Luna Parra, and I would also like to add Councilmember Kesarwani as co-sponsors to, or as a co-sponsor to that item. And lastly, item 16, which is a support position on three environmental bills, SB 222, the Heat Pump Access Act by Senator Wiener, SB 868, also by Senator Wiener, which is the plug and play, also known as the Balcony Solar Act, and AB 2389 by Assemblymember Irwin, which will extend a tax credit for rooftop solar, which will otherwise expire at the end of this year. And I would like to add Councilmember Luna Parra for her co-sponsorship. Also, I would like to thank Councilmember Blackaby for adding me as a co-sponsor to item 17, setting measurable goals and metrics for key city priorities. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And then something else I want to make a comment on before we before we move forward with comments from my colleagues, is that I'd like to move item 11 from the Peace and Justice Commission on the flock safety, on flock safety, to May 7th when we hear this item, the surveillance and flock contract item, and also move item 12 from the Peace and Justice Commission on the proposed use of controlled weapons and other policing tools to the meeting when these items will return from the Public Safety Committee.
And Mayor, may I recommend that item 12 be referred to the Agenda and Rules Committee for scheduling at that time?
Thank you. Yes, that would be good, Rose. Do we need to take any
action? The action can be part of the action the council takes on the consent calendar.
Thanks. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, Councilmember Blackaby.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Just a few comments on the consent calendar. In order, first, I just wanted to thank Councilmember Bartlett on item two for his nomination to the Police Accountability Board. As we're working to kind of reset and restock the board with a full complement of board members, my nominee's coming at our next meeting, and I know a number of us have others coming. And so, again, just following up on that and making sure that folks know we are trying to get the board fully staffed and back fully functional as quickly as possible. So, just want to thank Councilmember Bartlett for his nomination, and look forward to mine next week. Item four, I wanted to really appreciate our Health, Housing, and Community Services team for their work with the East Bay Asian Local Development Corporation to help secure $9 million in state funds to support the affordable housing project at the North Berkeley BART station, which I know is near and dear to many of our hearts, in particular Councilmember Kesarwani. So thanks to city staff for, again, securing that important financing. Item 14, thanks to Councilmember Tragib for adding me as a co-sponsor. This is Senator Ben Allen's bill to reform the insurance non-renewal process. As Councilmember Tragib mentioned, this is a bigger and bigger issue for many families here in Berkeley. We're seeing it in my district all the time. The number of people who are losing insurance and then do not know why they've lost insurance, do not know how to sort of remedy the situation. They're given sort of very vague communications and have no sort of recourse. And so I just want to appreciate the bill and also Councilmember Tragib's work on this. We also have a full kind of docket of other wildfire safety legislation that's being considered by the legislature. We're bringing a resolution on that at our next meeting that I hope my colleagues will support. There's a lot of good stuff happening in the legislature, and it's important for us to lend our voice to those things that are addressing real problems that we're facing here in Berkeley. And then on item 17, you know, we've seen, we've kind of been seeing different pieces of this. The city auditor came out with a report and some suggestions. This is the setting measurable goals and metrics for key city priorities. The city manager and his team have been very helpful and supportive. The Health, Life, Enrichment, Equity, and Community Policy Committee have reviewed it. I'm excited that, again, with adoption on the consent calendar tonight, we'll be able to move this forward to help bring even greater transparency and accountability around key performance goals. I think that, again, it's no news to anyone that we're facing some real budget challenges here in Berkeley. So I think it's even more important to be able to communicate to the public what we are delivering with a reduced level of financial resource, what they can expect from us in terms of what the city is delivering. And I think this is one measure that, again, is about setting those goals and holding ourselves accountable for meeting those marks. So I just want to appreciate the support on that. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Humbert.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. My first comment is on item 13, which is an item from the Peace and Justice Commission to reaffirm City of Berkeley commitment to international peace, opposing war on Iran, and standing in solidarity with the people of Iran. And I want to say that Council's already adopted an item on this topic that I believe is substantially similar, very similar to this one. I don't think it's sensible for us to adopt a second item, especially without knowing whether and how it may conflict with the earlier item. I don't know if it does or not. And I don't believe it is worth the time of council or staff, especially in the context of a major budget crisis, to try to reconcile largely duplicative items. I'd suggest if the commission feels strongly that their item touches on subjects that are essential and which we missed as council, then I would encourage them to send a new item that specific, specifically calls out those areas of difference and explains why they necessitate further council action. Number 15, the Federal Immigration Enforcement Report. I was going to ask to be added, but now I think it's full. But thank you very much for the council members who are the author, Councilmember Trigoub, and the co-sponsors. Item 17 is a wonderful item. Thank you, Councilmember Blackaby. That's setting measurable goals and metrics for key city priorities, and I'm privileged to be added as a co-sponsor on that. And then there was one more that I wanted to address, and maybe that was it. It was the insurance non-renewal process. And thanks, I want to thank Councilmember Trigoub for authoring that and for adding me as a co-sponsor. It's a really critically important issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other council members have comments? I will just add a thank you also to Councilmember Bartlett for putting forward his PAB nominee. And I know that Councilmember Blackaby is coming up, I believe, in the next meeting. Just so folks know, we are moving those appointments forward. So we will hopefully have a full PAB very soon. Thank you very much. Okay. Can I please take public comment on consent and information items only? Come on up.
Hi. I don't know if I get 2 minutes because there's, oh, good. And I have, Ralph Bell is giving me his time as well if I need it. George Lippman, I'm representing the Peace and Justice Commission tonight, at the request of the chair, Pastor Dwayne Phillips, who couldn't be here tonight. So he's asked me to represent. First, I want to say with regard to item 13, I appreciate the comment and agree. We with the council member, we did pass this before the council acted, and we also appreciate the similarities, and also to appreciate the council member's comments at that time in very full-throated support of the item, so appreciate that, and the whole council. I want to speak about item, and I support the mayor's move on 11 and 12 to defer those. That's not an issue. I want to read a little bit, even though we're moving this item 11 to another date. I want to take the opportunity to read a little bit of what we asked for. The Peace and Justice Commission recommends applying a social justice lens to policing decisions that could have a significant impact on the lives of Berkeley's residents and visitors, including disparate impact on marginalized, low-income, disabled, elder, and community members of color. The proposal is, or the recommendation is, cancel flock safety contracts for public surveillance images and video footage, and do not sign any new contracts with flock for stationary cameras or for drones, such as First Responder by Drone. Due to flock's repeated sharing of such data with immigration authorities and the inherent risk of exposure of cloud-based storage to Trump administration access. And I'll just make, from my perspective, a few key points. What we've learned over time, it can't be said too many times, no matter what safeguards you have built into your contract with flock, a judicial warrant obtained by Homeland Security will override your contract, and ICE will get our photos and videos of our vulnerable community members. And if you are hit with a secret FISA warrant, you won't even know your data was taken because it would be a felony for flock to tell you. This has to be taken seriously. You check with your attorney if you want, but all this work that you're going through to find exceptions isn't going to help you when they come with a subpoena. Secondly, Flock's biggest shareholder is Andreessen Horowitz. That is owned by billionaire ICE supporter Mark Andreessen, who is a leading supporter of Trump. He flipped from being a liberal to being MAGA. And he considers, and this is the quote to remember, DEI and immigration to be, quote, two forms of discrimination. That's from Fortune magazine, not a left-wing paper. Thirdly, Flock is engaged in politically corrupt business practices. It is reported that the company has hired the mayor of Moreno Valley, California, 300,000 population, to work as a community engagement manager to get local policies passed and contracts signed to benefit Flock. This is corruption, and this is what they're doing. This is what they want to do with every community in the state. This is the company that we're in bed with. Your constituents are warning you of the risk you're taking on. We love Berkeley, and we are trying to protect it from moral, public health, financial, and legal exposure. Please be careful with your vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Todd Yamaguchi, District 2, and I use the pronouns he and him. I'm just here to thank Council Members Trego Benunapara for the item 16, the support of the two bills by Scott Weiner on heat pumps and balcony solar, as well as the Irwin's Keeping Solar Affordable Act. Really appreciate all the support from the City on Clean Energy this weekend. Thank you also for your support for the upcoming home electrification fair at the Brower Center from Citizens Climate Lobby. Unfortunately, I won't be able to be there, but hope you all are able to come out and keep moving our progressively in this, on the climate while Washington continues to go backwards. But we're moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess I've missed you. I had to come back. And I do have an extra minute. I'm speaking to number two. I really encourage the support that we're getting for the Police Accountability Commission. I am so impressed with their diligence, their brilliance, and their wanting to serve this community. I'm really concerned on number four about the low income and actual, quote, affordability of so many of these projects. The ratio is like a few to 100 in most of these enterprises that I've been listening to, so I'm concerned about that, just as a general principle. And then in terms of number 10, STAIRS, I've had personal interaction with them such that I have nothing good to say, given that they broadcast themselves as being ADA compliant and definitely were not, and yet had been paid, I'm trying not to yell, I'm sorry, had been paid a bazillion dollars to do it with over 90 code violations. So they've also again been given more money to create this amended situation with structures that were left out in the rain all winter long. Anyway, and now they're asking for more money. I just want to alert you. I have intimate firsthand and secondhand knowledge, and I am not pleased, especially when I know of programs that actually do what they say and come through and serve the community, such that we aren't wasting money getting pillaged and plundered. And back to then the, I'm going to jump to number 17 because this measuring things so that there can actually be transparent accountability is brilliant. But again, the numbers in the wrong hands can be misused, as we're seeing all over this country. All right. And then in terms of the Peace and Justice Commission, I go there much to their chagrin and mine over and over and over again, because peace is not just a noun, it's a verb. It's a verb. And justice, it's not about fighting who's right. It's about, could there be some measure of equanimity, equality? care and concern for everyone in humanity. It's like, oh my God, so the flock thing, safety, not really. Weapons, no thank you. And what about committing to, like the old hippie that I am, make love, not war? Again, it's a darn good idea. I'm really trying to encourage you to remember that we could be living in peace and harmony where everyone could be okay. So, all right. I just thank you. I'm so glad you're still willing to show up. And I'm willing, I am too. So take care of you. Thank you.
Thanks, Maria.
All right, we do have some raised hands on Zoom. The first speaker, and this is comments on the consent calendar. Our first speaker is the number ending in 211. Speaker, you should be able to speak.
Okay, so now I'd like to speak on consent item 2 and consent item 13. 2, memory of our great Berkeley Police Chief, Dash Butler, who made Berkeley very safe, a great man. Also, my family, when we had over $1 million embezzlement in our San Francisco store, went to 2 Berkeley policemen. I paid them $6,000 a month. I had to save my family, my son, and everybody. As far as the 13, Donald Trump actually was going to use an atom bomb in Iran. But the man held the nuclear football refused to walk out of the room. This man is extremely dangerous. He is extremely dangerous. Every day when he's in power, all of our life, children's life, everybody's life, is in danger. Again, our business paid over $1 million in taxes at the city of Berkeley in license fees and sales tax. Need help. Berkeley people need help. Everybody wants have each TV location in Berkeley where we can do a lot of business, help everybody, and where I can, the whole city of Berkeley. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, our next speaker is Wendy. Wendy, you should be able to speak.
I'm sorry, it's number 35 included on the Peace and Justice Commission included on the consent calendar now.
Yes, the items from...
Okay, that's what I wanted to speak in support of the Peace and Justice Commission recommendations with regard to the flock safety contracts, and strongly urge that no action be taken to engage in the contracts at this time. I don't think we know enough to do so in a safe and prudent manner that would safeguard all of the interests of all of the people of Berkeley. Really appreciate the stand that's been taken by the mayor, council members Tregub, Luna Parra, and our vice chair, Ann Bartlett. And I hope that the rest of you will reconsider. Thank you.
Thank you. And just so folks know, I'm allowing public comment for items 11 and 12 for the Peace and Justice Commission, but we've also, part of the action that we'll take on the consent calendar is to move those items to the meetings in which we'll discuss those issues. So just to make sure everyone is on the same page.
Thank you. Our next speaker is the caller with the number ending 405. You should be able to speak.
Hi, Dirk Neihardt. I'm sorry to be off topic here, but I'm just so severely anti-flock. I just had to put my two bits in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Lisa. Lisa, you should be able to speak.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you for this opportunity to support the Peace and Justice Commission's recommendations via the flock contract. I believe that they are correct and that Council should really take them to heart. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay, I see that Councilmember Bartlett has his hand raised. Did you want to give comment?
Oh, yeah, just briefly, now that I'm all set up properly, I wanted to thank everyone for all of your thing. In particular, my addition to the PAB, Benjamin Nash, is an excellent young man. He's going to serve the body really well. Hope you approve him. He's going to, you know, really deliver a whole new vantage point, and he's really a conscious young man. He's been active in the community, and I happened to teach his class as a coincidence at the grad school at Paquel, and it was quite a wonderful day. And I'm really impressed with them. I think you will be too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilmember. Yeah, Councilmember Humbert.
Public comment is over, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor. Yeah, I wanted to, in connection with the motion on accepting the consent calendar, because item 13, following up on my prior comments, because item 13, as salutary as it may be, is duplicative of what we've already done, I'd like to keep that on the keep that on the consent calendar for the purpose of taking no action.
Sorry, just to clarify, Rose, does that need like? That would happen unless there are objections, or could you? I'm sorry. Please refresh my memory.
Yeah, if that is the council's intention to take no action on that item and that is accepted by the body as the motion related to that item, then that can proceed.
As long as there's no objection, is that right?
Correct.
Okay, so just yes. Wanted to make sure that there's no objection to that. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, very good. Thank you. All right, is there a motion then?
I move adoption of the consent calendar as amended.
Second. Okay, can we take the roll on that, please?
Certainly. On the consent calendar, Councilmember Keserwani.
Yes.
Taplin?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Tragub?
Aye.
O'Keefe?
Yes.
Blackaby?
Yes.
Munapara?
Yes.
Humbert?
In solidarity with Councilmember Tragub, I'll say aye.
And Mayor Ishii.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, thank you all very much. Okay, so we have completed our consent calendar. Moving on to our action calendar, to item number 18, which is to conduct a public hearing in compliance with Assembly Bill 2561, Government Code Section 3502.3 regarding vacancies, recruitment, and retention efforts. And we have a presentation, so I will pass it over to staff.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the City Council. I'm Monica Walker, and tonight, on behalf of the Human Resources Department, I will be presenting on the vacancies, recruitment, and retention efforts under AB 2561 and Government Code 3502.3. Effective January 1st, 2025, AB 2561 and Government Code 3502.3 now requires public agencies to present on the status of vacancies, recruitment, and retention at a public hearing once a year prior to the budget being adopted before the governing body. Just to note, the measurement period for the data that we will be presenting tonight is from calendar year 2025, so it spans January 1st through December 31st of that year. The vacancy rate citywide during that time frame averaged about 15% at the end of each month, with the highest vacancy rate being 16.1% and 14.7%. And although the staff report refers to the frozen positions that were held vacant, those were added in as part of the number. When we look across the bargaining units, most of the bargaining units were under 20%. Two of them were over 20%, Berkeley Chief Fire Officers Association, BFCOA, and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, IBEW. BFCOA's percentage resulted from two battalion chiefs who retired in December 2025. And because a snapshot was taken as of December 31st, 2025, it captures those vacancies before they could be filled. And they were filled a few weeks later in January of 2026. For IBEW, the vacancies were two electricians, which have since been filled or are now in pre-employment, two lead electricians, and one lead communications technician, which resulted from an internal promotion from within that bargaining unit. And just to take a moment out to talk about percentages as it relates to smaller bargaining units, the number of vacancies in a smaller bargaining unit represents a larger portion, each position does. So although we had five vacancies in IBEW, it represented an over of 20% percentage, but with those two positions that have since been filled, it reduced it to under 20%. And the same with the battalion chiefs, it was two positions, but the total number was seven, which resulted in a higher vacancy. These are the general steps for a civil service recruitment, starting from when a position is vacant all the way to when an employee is onboarded. These steps are part of a civil service framework to ensure that there's transparency and fairness and an equal opportunity for everyone to apply for a position. And though we operate within this framework, we try to look continuously at ways to make things more efficient. Our entire process is electronic. We have brought a lot of things in-house, such as our fingerprinting, and we try to move things along while still embracing a civil service framework. One of the things that we're also doing is reaching out to get qualified candidates, and we're not waiting for candidates to just hear about a job opportunity or to be looking for a job. We reach out to find them. This is our dedicated career website where they can find out about how wonderful it is to work for Berkeley. These are examples of our continually increasing social media presence where we talk about and feature our existing employees and why they like to work at the City of Berkeley. We also have information on how to apply for jobs, and we really try to outreach to candidates in that way. We also do, for the harder to fill positions, professional industry websites. For example, for the electrician positions, we went to professional websites such as this to try to find those who are already in the profession and see if they're interested in working for the City of Berkeley. We also go as far as doing executive recruitment strategies where we have a dedicated analyst who acts in the capacity of an executive recruiter and looks for candidates who might not even be looking for jobs because sometimes they're the best candidates. As a result of our efforts, we received close to 16,000 applications in 2025, and 12,000 of those were unique applicants, unique persons. This is an overwhelming number for the position that we are trying to fill, and it resulted in the relatively low vacancy rate that was reported earlier. Of the 229 vacancies created in 2025, you can see that over 40% of them resulted from internal promotions, internal transfers, or budgeted positions. And the rest were due to natural attrition, retirement, voluntary terminations, and a few involuntary terminations. We also filled 248 vacancies in 2025 through new external or internal recruitments, internal only recruitments, and existing eligible lists. We also have very rich benefits at the city for retention. In addition to strong compensation, we offer a defined benefit retirement plan through CalPERS, medical, dental, vision insurance, Claremont EAP support services throughout the employee's life cycle, and organizations such as Team Unity, who plan events to try and unify the city. We also offer training and development opportunities. We have a supervisor learning plan, We will soon have a manager learning plan. We offer a skilled worker academy, and we offer a lot of courses through NeoGovLearn to enhance and grow our employees from within. And this has resulted in a 93% retention rate. We had 3% through natural attrition, 4% through turnover, and overall a very, very strong retention rate throughout the city. I would also like to take a moment to highlight the efforts of our small but mighty HR team. Without the members of our HR team, I would not be able to report the numbers that I am reporting today. Our team supports our employees through every phase of their employee life cycle. And like to give special recognition to our director, Janelle Rodriguez, for her leadership and guidance. And Anna Guler, our HR analyst, for compiling and tracking a lot of the data that you saw on this slide, as well as spearheading our outreach and digital outreach for our candidates. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Monica. Thank you for the presentation. Okay, so I'd like to start with any council questions. Questions from my council colleagues? Okay, Councilmember Blackaby.
Just had one quick one. Thanks for the presentation. When you talk about the 15% kind of average vacancy, how does that stack up against other municipal governments locally? Just how does this benchmark?
So other agencies that we've seen average from between 14 and 20%. So we're about average, and it really depends on the composition of their workforce too, right? Our vacancies might be different than their vacancies in terms of the classifications and the bargain units.
That's great. And then similarly on the on numbers around, the turnover and attrition and retention, I think you said 3%, 93% retention. And how does that kind of look if you were to benchmark that?
I can look more into that. I don't have that number offhand, but okay. I can look more and get back and follow up with you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? You stole my questions. Good questions. Okay, very good. Can we please have any public comment on item number 18, which is the public hearing in compliance with Assembly Bill 2561, Government Code Section 3502.3, regarding vacancies, recruitment, and retention efforts? Public comment?
Yes.
And for the unions, just so you know, I've given you 5 minutes, so you have a little more time than public comment. So
thank you.
I don't know if, you're just here to take a video? Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Go ahead.
Hello, Mayor and Council. I appreciate this opportunity to speak. My name's Thomas Gregory. I'm the president of SEIU 1021 CSU PTRLA, and I'm commenting on behalf of my chapter. As you know, the city management is planning to eliminate many vacant positions when the new fiscal year starts in a couple of months. As of December 31st, 2025, there were 270 vacant positions citywide, and 77 of those 270 vacancies are within my chapter. If council passes the budget balancing plan, as is this June, the city will eliminate 42 of my chapter's 77 vacant positions, and the city will eliminate at least 114 of the 270 vacancies that currently exist citywide. And this 114 figure only accounts for the non-sworn vacant positions to be eliminated in fiscal year 27. On top of this 114 figure, there are sworn positions that could also be eliminated in fiscal year 27. Of course, elimination of positions, including vacant positions, is bad for our members, bad for members of my chapter and other chapters. The elimination of positions results in less collective power for bargaining units, fewer opportunities for promotions and lateral moves, and fewer opportunities to retreat during times of proposed layoffs, such as right now. That said, tonight I wanted to stress the negative impact that the elimination of so many positions will have on the community at large, as opposed to the city's various labor chapters. Eliminating vacant positions makes permanent a downward adjustment in the city's capacity to serve its constituents. Vacancies obviously don't provide value to constituents, but at least vacancies have the potential to benefit the community in the future when funding and/or qualified candidates are more abundant. Planning department vacancies that get eliminated will deprive homeowners and businesses of the potential for quicker turnaround times for permit approvals in the future. Behavioral health vacancies that get eliminated will deprive at-risk and unstable residents the potential for prompt delivery of mental health care. A permanently understaffed accounts receivable team will perpetually struggle to adequately collect revenue. Every eliminated position translates into a permanent deficit in capacity, and this deficit will have tangible impacts on the constituents who avail themselves of city services in the future. It's true that an eliminated position could theoretically be established and reestablished in the future. However, given the city's HR department's failure over the course of years to fill large numbers of vacancies, it would be a mistake to assume that HR and other leadership staff will be nimble enough to adequately create needed positions in the future when funding allows. I urge council to consider rejecting management's plan to eliminate large numbers of currently vacant positions come fiscal year 27. I urge council to demand accountability from HR leaders generally, and more specifically, to require management to conduct a thorough analysis to discover all the reasons for the city's chronically high vacancy rates. Again, please do not eliminate any positions through a wholesale reduction in force process, as doing so only serves to make permanent a downward adjustment in the city's capacity to serve its constituents. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item? I don't see anyone online.
I don't see any hands raised.
Okay. Are there any comments on this item? Councilmember Kesarwani.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to thank you very much for the presentation. It's very helpful to get this information about vacancy rates. I think you had it by position, right? I thought you may have. But in any case, and then you also yes, you do. You, on one of the slides, the vacancy rate by position. And so I just wanted to note that. And then the other thing I wanted to note was the retention rate and the vacancies created. And I know this is technically a question. I didn't ask it during the question time, but I just wanted to clarify, when you have this 93% annual staff retention rate, can you just explain how you're calculating that? Are you just looking at, well, I'll just let you answer.
Sure. So the first two numbers, retirement and voluntary separations, that's that number added together divided by the number of budgeted positions.
Can you just speak into the microphone a little bit more? Okay.
So it's the 38 retirement, the 15 involuntary separations added together, and then divided by the total number of budgeted positions.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's helpful. I was just a little, oh, okay, I misread. 2025 colon is 227. Okay, thank you so much. That's very helpful. Thank you again for the presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Humbert.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly say thank you for the presentation and all the work that went into it. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Okay. Yeah, I also want to just add my thanks. I really do see the work that HR is doing, not only to receive a lot of applications and do outreach into the community to get more applications and strong applicants, but also in the retention work. I think it's something that folks in the public don't get a chance to see very often, and I do really see you all trying to create a culture that helps people feel supported. So I just want to thank you all for that, and thank you for the presentation as well. Okay, thank you. And I don't think we need to actually vote to accept this report. I think it's just, is that right?
Could I get a motion to close the public hearing?
Or, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Monica.
We can, we should do that. Hi. Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
The Berkeley Police Association would also like to present.
We actually finished the comment period already. Did you want to make a comment?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so I was saying earlier that unions could have 5 minutes to speak during the comment period. But do you want to? you can just, since we haven't closed the hearing, you should just go ahead and get your comment.
Thank you. I think there's a presentation that, Monica, are you able to put it up? Thank you. I'll go through this as quick as possible. Thank you for the time, Madam Mayor and Council, for hearing us out regarding our vacancies. Looking at our current authorized versus actual vacancies, this is up-to-date current, not for 2025. We're currently looking at 44 vacant sworn officer positions, two sworn sergeant positions for a total of 46 vacancies, much higher than the numbers from last year due to many factors. That's based on our current authorized staffing. If you look at with, we do have numerous trainees and people that have been hired and are in the academy currently or in the process. So that does boost us up to 105 sworn positions that are filled for officer. And so definitely that is in the works. But as you can see, out of our 179 authorized positions, seven are currently vacant due to vacant frozen positions. And we currently have a total of 15 on both modified and workers' comp. So basically working with a total of 66% of our actual authorized current staffing positions. On the next slide, you'd be looking at what the proposed budget would do to our staffing. Based on the two possible scenarios, which would be a reduction of 32 positions for the worst case scenario, you'd be looking at a total of only 133 sworn positions, basically putting us almost at full staffing right now, which is our lowest staffing in my entire 15 years here. Even with our trainees and whatnot, we'd be pretty much approaching that. If the sales tax measure passes, we'd be losing a total of 17 positions, which would still put us at a total of 162 sworn positions with still numerous vacancies. Some of our current staffing challenges is that we in 2020 had 174 sworn positions to compared to our current numbers. In the past couple months, we've had one sergeant and six officers leave the department to join. Most of those join San Francisco Police Department and one another police department. We currently are anticipating a handful more in the next few months to go to San Francisco Police Department as well. We have 19 current officers eligible to retire as of right now, with a total of about 25 by the end of the year. And some of our other staffing challenges have been a long-term struggle to recruit lateral police officers, which are quicker to get trained and onto the streets. And we're currently at about 55% of our department has 10 years or less of experience, which is a pretty much a low in my career right now. Next slide. This is looking at our current patrol, our updated patrol staffing that will be starting in a couple weeks compared to April of 2021. So in April 2021, we had 16 beats. Now we have 14 beats. You can see there's been a 25% decrease in our patrol officers from 73 to 55. In 2024, the city hired an outside company to do a workload survey, and 73 was the number that they recommended that we have as our patrol staffing, along with creating numerous other proactive positions and things like that. Regarding our workload, the good news about that is that since 2020, our calls for service and our case reports have stayed pretty steady. But the bad is looking at our staffing numbers, officers will be responding to approximately 32% more calls for service and cases on a basis. What that means is that your patrol officers will have longer response times to these calls for lower priority calls for services. You're gonna have less time for follow-up with victims. You're gonna have less time to do investigations. And for me, some of the most important things, a lot less time to interact with the community on just a one-on-one basis to have, downtime to talk with them and to conduct traffic enforcement. If you have officers that are just on calls all day, you have no time for them to do any kind of interactions with the community besides going from call to call to call. Our current hiring situation is we currently have one conditional offer to an entry-level police officer, one entry-level and one lateral officer in the background process. And we have police recruit interviews being conducted and a physical agility test scheduled for this week. It's approximately about a 3+ month process to get people hired. And when the police officer recruit is hired, it takes about 6 months for an academy and then a 4 month field training program. So all those recruits that we have hired right now, we won't see them probably till end of this year, next year, actually working on the street. And they'll most likely just be filling positions that are people retiring and leaving this year. We can go to the next slide. Some of our biggest recruitment challenges we're facing, the main two are lack of industry standard tools and lack of opportunity due to our understaffing. Most of when trying to recruit people from other departments, they're used to working with tasers, canines, and drone as first responder nowadays. Also, our lack of, our understaffing leads to a lack of career opportunities. Our investigations division, our traffic unit are both understaffed. We currently don't have any kind of narcotics or special investigation unit, and we don't participate in any of the county task forces. It's very difficult to recruit officers away from other departments. If I can get like one more minute, I'm almost.
I'm sorry, just I offered to give the unions 5 minutes. I apologize that we didn't have this conversation beforehand.
Thank you.
Thank you, though. I really appreciate you giving us this presentation, and folks have the slides here so we can look through them as well. Thank you. Okay, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, can we take the roll on that, please, Rose?
All right, to close the public hearing, Councilmember Keserwani?
Yes.
Taplin?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Traga?
Aye.
O'Keefe?
Yes, and Clerk, would you email me those slides, please?
Yes, we will do that. Okay, so yes for O'Keefe. Blackaby?
Yes.
Munapara?
Yes.
Humbert?
Yes.
Mayor Ishii?
Yes. Thank you very much. Is there any public comment on items not listed on the agenda?
I don't know. I don't know if it's permissible for me to speak on 12 since I wasn't here.
No, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, anyone online?
There are no hands raised online.
Okay, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Can you take the roll, please, Rose?
To adjourn, Councilmember Keserwani?
Yes.
Taplin?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Jacob?
Aye.
O'Keefe?
Yes.
Blackaby?
Yes.
Munapara?
Yes.
Humbert?
Yes.
Mayor Ishii?
Yes. All right. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Recording stopped.
Thank you.